It's Wednesday, my dudes, which means fresh takes back in the building. Paul Russo here. Yep. Nick Felice here. What a time, Nick. What a time.
Yeah, it's week 10 of the NFL. Paul.
Crazy.
Top scoring team in our fantasy football league, but 4-5. What's going on?
A couple of bad luck weeks. You know, that'll happen. It happens. What are you going to do?
You'll have plenty of time to bounce back.
Hopefully.
On my team, on the other hand, I'm not talking about it.
Nick. You're on the couch. I think we can allow for a little therapy if needed. But yeah, we actually have a lot to get to today. So I'm going to jump right in, Nick, and handle our podcast business up front. Thank today's sponsors, DeSanto Propane. DeSanto Propane is four generations strong. It's a trustworthy, family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more information or call them toll-free at 1-800-752-4574 today. Since 1937. The difference has been DeSanto Propane and Dewey's Tavern. Dewey's Tavern within walking distance from downtown Saginaw Falls, just across the Bridge Street Bridge. Play Quick Draw, Lottery, and 19 televisions for all your sporting events. Great food for lunch or dinner with bocce, dart, and pool leagues. Check them out online at deweysthirdward.com. A lot to get to, Nick, like I said. Let's jump right in with the NFL. It was a weird weekend again. I didn't think there was a ton of maybe outright stuff to really discuss. But I do want to begin. Unfortunately, your Giants, Daniel Jones, looking like he's done for the year with another knee injury. You're on the couch, a little therapy session. Like I said, maybe for your fantasy team, maybe for your actual in real life team. But you want to talk about having a no good, horrible, very bad year. The Giants are just kind of stuck in one, it appears, for 2023.
Yes. Thank you for picking them to go to the Super Bowl.
Apologies.
Thank you for picking Notre Dame to go to the college football championship game as well. Yeah, that was not surprising, though. I mean, a little surprising how the score indicated, but not really when Daniel Jones went out and Tommy DeVito went in there. But, I mean, we're big. Everyone around here is big Tommy DeVito fans.
We are
around this area, you know, big Syracuse, great Syracuse quarterback. But you know, not surprised. I mean, give me the stats, Reale. Like, what is the stats of somebody
we don't
a team winning after their coach gets fired midseason?
That's a good point.
The first game back, they always seem to win. It doesn't matter if it's the NBA, MLB, NFL. We saw with Jeff Saturday last year. You know, it's really hard to go against a team that just fired their coach. And it's not, you know, it's not going to, like, the Raiders are going to go on a big run now, but they dominate them. And the Giants are in some trouble this year. I mean, I'm definitely all for the tanking. I mean, it's not like it's no secret teams tank, but I'm all for the tank, especially the NFL, because there is no lottery, which I think will happen someday. I really do. I think because it's getting bad now with the tanking.
They're the only one.
I never thought the MLB would get a lottery, and they did. I think the NFL will get it eventually. But right now, it's you're the worst team. You get the first pick, and you got any choice of those quarterbacks coming out. Which you said last week is an overrated class, but
yeah, highly.
but I still think I like Caleb Williams. His USC team's terrible at defense. They're never going to be good this year, but I like Caleb Williams. I think he could be a star. I think he should be the pick they go for. I say, let's lose, baby. We got the Cardinals in the mix. We got, obviously, the Panthers, who are the Bears, who don't need a quarterback. Or they do need a quarterback. I mean, that's still hit or miss. I don't know if they're like
Pageant's not the answer.
Who?
Pageant's not the answer.
Yeah. I don't know if they're sold on Justin Fields.
We know they aren't.
And I don't know if the Cardinals are sold on Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
We're going to find out what Kyler Murray has left. And he's come back this week. So
no, he's not.
He's not.
Well, I don't know. It's weird. I got a notification that was very – it didn't make it sound like they had a for sure answer this week. But you are wrong on the new coaches thing, because I do know the Mets were 0-1 with Dick Scott as their manager.
Really?
In 2017 or whatever it was. So
I mean, the Mets do it all the time. So
I'm just here to provide stats. You want a little bit of a stat? Give you a little bit of a sprinkle.
Yeah,
but my Giants pick very wrong against the Raiders this past week. That'll happen. Bills, Bengals didn't surprise me, but again, maybe to go back to something we talked about week three with the Bengals, I don't think anything's there this year for them.
Really?
It might be down Jamar.
They've been playing well.
It might be down Jamar Chase, too, now going forward. Look, they're going to contend, right? Like, they're still good. It's a lot like how I have the Bills right now. And maybe to a lesser degree, the Chiefs. But, like, again, kind of go back to what we've been talking about. Like, the AFC just does nothing for me this year, especially. Well, on the league where I can't get a beat, like going back to what we talked about last week, right? It's like they're 2 weeks ago, I guess. You know, it's kind of just everywhere and anywhere, any given Sunday type thing, right? But the Bengals had opportunities to pull away from the Bills, and they just didn't. And kind of, you know, I go back to it. I don't think it's anything specific player wise. You know, I think it's. We go back to that Zach Taylor, the right guy, well, type thing for there. But, yeah, I just – congrats on the win, Cincinnati. It's one of those stamp wins for the year, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of the long haul, I just don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Joe Burrow
– Well, no, I – yeah, well. Yeah.
And I think when you got a quarterback like that, I mean – Chiefs haven't really stuck out that much well this year. You even said the AFC, you're not sold on. Someone's got to go to the Super Bowl at this conference.
Right.
Why can't it be the Bengals?
Mm-hmm.
Still, if they go to the Super Bowl, it's a great season.
I mean, if we're going to go that route, I mean, why not? Why not the Jets? Like, it could be anybody still technically.
Oh, did you not see the Jets the other night?
But, yeah, but it could be anybody in the AFC still at this point, right?
I think the Jets?
Well, fine. My bad. Houston.
That's better.
Yeah, I mean, Burrow's gotten the ship righted for himself, but he ain't what he was 2 years ago or last year, you know. And, you know, maybe part of that goes back to, you know, maybe he's not 100% quite yet with a calf, and he's – or he rushed himself back, and this is just his 100% for the year, and we should be expecting it. But, like, that team overall – I mean, Mixon's lost a step, it's pretty apparent. And balance-wise, they just aren't the same team. They just aren't. Is what it is.
Are the Chargers good?
Yeah, no. They're good, right? Like,
are the Ravens?
Did Herbert actually look good to you Monday night?
Not really.
Exactly. Like,
are the Ravens good?
Oh. Do you think?
I think they're right there with the Chiefs. I think, as of right now, I know this is going to change. Top three teams in the AFC, in my opinion, right now, would be the Bills in the top three if they had some injuries. They've got too many injuries, and it's going to hurt them on defense. But right now, in the AFC, it's the Chiefs, the Ravens, mm-hmm. and the Bengals. Mm. And I know you're not high on the Bengals right now, but I think it's those three teams right now, today, on this Wednesday.
I mean, I'm more inclined to put Baltimore there with Kansas City, for sure. I mean, my main issue with Baltimore still is just, like, the wide receiving core there is not.
But Jacksonville's not coming.
Yeah, I don't know what to quite make of them just yet either, though, to be fair. And maybe that's just me, where we kind of have this natural thing right now with them, where it's like, prove it to us, like when you that you can do it deep through the year. But I mean, they to go back to, I guess, like what I said with Cincinnati, they do have a couple of those like stamp wins for the year, where it's like you kind of pass that test when you needed to pass it.
I don't know.
You know, and to be fair, Jacksonville does have quite the test this weekend. They play San Fran.
Also, I don't know the history of injuries. I feel like Jacksonville hasn't had a lot of injuries.
No.
And sometimes that's the case.
Right.
To make you a good team.
I mean, it's health, yeah. I mean, look at San Fran right now. I think some of their struggles admittedly, you know, we talked, you know, about, you know, the quarterback situation, but some of that does have to go back to health though with them, right? Trent Williams got hurt. Deebo Samuel's hurt. Defensively, they're dinged up too. Greenwood, I know, got dinged up. There's a couple of others just they're kind of out there. I mean, Go back to the Buffalo-Cincinnati game, right? Like, Josh Norman's out in the secondary for Buffalo right now because they're just that banged up. Like,
Washington great, Josh Norman.
I mean, I'm a Josh Norman guy. I do have some stock. I know you're not. Your stock's with Odell, but.
Well, I think Josh Norman's a great player, but he got so much better because of that game with Odell. Called him out before the game, and he started tangling him. He got his fame. That's how anybody gets.
Josh Norman was the one who headbutted him.
Anybody, I mean, there's always that one thing that gets your fame, and last year it was, or 2 years ago, whatever it was, DK Metcalf with that chase down, and Odell got fame because of that catch.
True.
So, I mean, that's just how it happens, but, yeah, so I'm definitely Team Odell, if that's who you're wondering.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know, but, yeah, going back to maybe where we really at with Baltimore, right? Like, that's the thing with Kansas City that I get worried about, right, is their core is not great, but, like, Kansas City's wide receiving core is still better than Baltimore's.
And really? Wide receivers or receivers in general.
Well, I think for both teams, it's hard not to include the tight ends.
Okay, so to be fair, you're including Taylor Swift's boyfriend, then
Jesus, yeah, Mark Andrews, right? I mean, to that end, though,
still don't agree.
To that end, though, Kansas City's core has at least played every week together. Like, and you want to talk about health, like, how none of those guys have gotten dinged up since week one is kind of nuts. Whereas Baltimore, Odell's been in and out. I mean, even Mark Andrews had some injury designation this year next to him. So,
Zay Flowers, not bad.
No, but, like, if you want to go even deeper than that, Kansas City, right? At least their running backs have been the same all year, too, right? Baltimore, J.K. Dobbins to
– always hurt.
Not to be that guy, but to the surprise of no one, right, hurt. And now they did this initial thing with Hill and Edwards, and now they have this other kid in there, too. It's like – I guess I still lead on, like, settle on a guy type thing, but, like, to me they're trying to – and this only proves maybe how good the FC North is to this extent, and it might be relative. But, like, they're all above 500. They're all at least some form of good somewhere down the line. That, you know, John Harbaugh feels the need to experiment to some way, shape, or form.
Maybe they got the two best coaches, too, Reed and Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I'd throw Tomlin in there, but. And I'd still throw Belichick in there. Belichick just doesn't have
A lot. About him. I'll let you finish your point, and then we'll circle back.
He just doesn't have a lot with the Patriots right now, so he can't have the record like these guys do. But, you know, I just think these are just going off the Chiefs and the Ravens, they're pretty similar teams. Both got a great tight end. Mm-hmm. Receiving core is about the same. I think the Ravens a little bit better. These Chiefs receivers are they're garbage.
Not a Rice guy.
Sky Moore, like, really?
Not a Rashad Rice
Tony's
guy?
Tony's trash.
Not a Rice guy?
Who?
Rice. Rashad Rice.
No. But,
wow. You're only saying that because he's a fantasy football team member.
They both got underrated defenses, like underrated great defenses, the Chiefs and Ravens. Got two great coaches. Very similar teams. Got two great kickers. One's the GOAT, but the other one's not bad.
Right. Bucker is the GOAT.
They got
Tucker's falling off.
Both great fan bases. I mean, they're very similar teams. So I'm gonna lean Chiefs until proven otherwise. But these Ravens are pretty good. But what was your point about Belichick?
Well, so it was one of my two quick hit points before we move on to our picks. We'll start with the really positive one. Josh Dobbs, holla. Loved seeing that, right? You know, and
I really think he didn't know anybody's name.
I don't know about that. I think that was a little bit extreme. I think it was just kind of like one of those, like, you're just so fresh in the locker room. Like, literally fresh in the locker room.
Kind of like, defend Antonio Brown so much because he's such a great guy. But him, like, he was off the streets and Tom Brady lived one. It's kind of like that situation. They overplayed it a little bit. It's like he did.
The Antonio Brown one, I think, was kind of factual.
He did live with – it's not like he couldn't afford a house.
But, right.
Or an apartment, but he overdid that. I think it's with the Dobbs. They're overdoing it. It's like he knew some of these guys' names. It's not like he just showed up before the game.
I think it was just like the exaggeration of, like, he's been here only since Wednesday. Like, doesn't know. I mean, it was cool. Kind of you get to see the behind the scenes, right, working on his cadences on the sideline with the line and stuff like that, but – Hey, shout out to the spaceman, Josh Dobbs.
Great guy.
Yeah. The quick point, though, I want to bring up about Belichick is, I don't know if you saw this, but I saw it in the news cycle yesterday. And I believe, you know, like, I believe there's smoke, there's fire. Apparently, if things don't go well in Germany this weekend against the Colts, the Patriots might do what we think might be the impossible and relieve Belichick of his duties after the game. Don't know if that actually happens. I have a hard time believing that would be what I will call the end of the coaching portion of his era in New England, because I don't know he would be – I don't think he'd be completely out of the picture, to be completely honest. I just have a hard time believing a guy of his stature in a season that is already pretty much done for that team, they would do that in such a way, especially given – it'd be one thing if it was, like, say, in Indianapolis or, like, a neutral site game even in what I would call the Western Hemisphere, where we are. The fact they would do it probably post-Germany game catches me as a hard time believing it. But I could see changes on the horizon sooner than later for New England involving Belichick.
They're going to give him a fortune cookie and say – see you later.
I don't know. Shot. I don't know about that.
You know that wasn't true, by the way.
I have a hard time believing it was. Yeah.
Was or wasn't?
I don't know. What's the deal with
it? I actually believed it, but then I saw people saying it wasn't true. But Josh McDaniels.
There's too many people running with that story. I don't know.
Anyway, but, you know, I don't see him. I mean, what's the other coach going to do? Save the Patriots? They'll win the first game, obviously, because that's the statistic. But, nobody else can save that team.
Nick Analytics.
How'd I do?
All right. So, last week, Nick, me and you both went 9-6.
I was going to say, we didn't do
that. Yeah, we had a few similarities, and then the ones we went different ways, we split pretty much down the middle. So, we're both 9-6. I remain 8 games back of you. You're 88-49 now. I'm 80-57.
Nice.
So, all right. 4 teams on a bye this week: Miami, the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Eagles. So we begin Thursday night. A real.
Oh, I saw it.
Barn burner of a match: Carolina at Chicago. Chicago -3.5 at home.
I will try. If I don't have anything going on, we got Big Brother tomorrow. That's perfect.
Finale.
Yeah, I have absolutely no time to watch this game because do not want to watch this game. I will find something to do. Bears won on Thursday night that 1 week. I'm going to go Panthers.
I would probably follow you there. I just know if there's a couple injuries on the Panthers' defensive end that they got going on, so... It's one of two games this week where I just don't like either team. So it's like I'm gonna go Chicago here. We'll get to other games soon enough, Nick.
Move on.
Sunday, 9:30 a.m. in Germany, the Colts at the Patriots. The Patriots are getting 1.5. I'm gonna go Colts here. Jonathan Taylor's hitting his stride, so I think that's a really good thing for the Colts. And
is the NBA overseas too this weekend?
Are they? I don't know.
I think so.
But I'm going Colts. I think Patriots are just in too much of a shamble right now.
I'm going Colts, too. Jonathan Taylor looked pretty good last week.
He's coming around. First of the 1 p.m. games on Sunday, Cleveland at Baltimore. Baltimore laying 6 at home.
Cleveland looked good against the Cardinals. It was pretty high on the Ravens, so I guess I have to pick them. So I'm going to go Ravens, even though I wouldn't be surprised if Browns win this one.
Yeah, I'm going Baltimore here as well. This thing, there's some fool's gold stuff going on with Cleveland, even though I'm high on them. But, again, I go back to something I brought up with Justin Herbert on Monday night. Deshaun Watson, did he actually look that good against Arizona? And that answer is no. So... Houston at Cincinnati. Cincinnati laying 6.5 at home.
I'm going to go Bengals.
Yeah. Same. Here's the one game I alluded to earlier a little bit. San Fran at Jacksonville. Jacksonville getting 3 at home.
It's a good one.
Yep.
I think San Fran's going to bounce back this week, though. Taking the Niners.
Same. Although, it's one of those things where if you were to tell me when we get here next week, Jacksonville won, I'd probably be like, not entirely surprising.
Yeah.
You know? New Orleans at Minnesota. Minnesota getting 2.5. The return, the rematch. Minnesota Miracle.
Does Josh Dobbs know his teammates' names?
I think at this point.
Okay. So, I'm going New Orleans in this game.
Ah, I thought we'd have our second deferment there, and I'm going New Orleans too.
I just don't see it 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, no.
I like Josh Dobbs.
Especially, I mean, Jefferson's not going to be back yet, obviously, but Minnesota's just getting banged up. Cam Akers is done for the year officially. There's just a lot going on for them, going against them. Green Bay at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, 3-point favorites at home.
Former Super Bowl rematch. This is our Super Bowl rematch here.
I'm going Pittsburgh
here. Either one of these teams have cheerleaders?
No.
Both
places like cheese.
Who'd you go with?
I'm in Pittsburgh.
I'm going Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah.
Green Bay's just so young.
Yeah. Last of the early window on Sunday, Tennessee at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay a 1-point favorite.
Who are you going with?
Who are you going with?
I think I'm going Tennessee.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go Tennessee. You going Tennessee?
I'm on Tampa Bay.
Why?
Well, Levis came down to earth.
He's a starter for us this year. I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, I don't know if I was surprised per se, but yeah, they're clearly kind of doing in the process of moving on, I think. But
so you like Baker?
Yeah, yeah. Baker played really good last week. This football gods were against them type deal. So
you do know he doesn't have Ali Marpet blocking for him though, right?
Hasn't for 2 years now. Sunday 4:05. This is the second game I was talking about when we were talking about Thursday night that I just don't know why the hell I want to pick it either way. Atlanta at Arizona. Arizona's getting 1.5 at home.
If we had a guest on right now, Paul, I'd walk off the stage here. I've had it.
A part of it.
I don't know. I hate Atlanta. I really, what is the schedule they keep giving Atlanta?
Luck.
It's so easy, and they're so bad.
I hear you. But at the end of the day, for the second week in a row, I took Atlanta.
I have to take Atlanta. Yeah. Arizona don't have a quarterback.
I'm not thrilled.
What is that? This is ridiculous, Atlanta. This schedule they have, and they're so terrible.
I hear you.
Take Atlanta.
Detroit at the Chargers. Chargers are getting 2.5 at home.
I see a high-scoring game here.
Ooh.
I see Herbert, Goff. I see Staley. I see, what's his face? Campbell.
There you go. I didn't know which way you were going there anyway. I'm like.
I see them, and I see a high-scoring game. But I like the Lions in this game. We're 2 weeks out from the big Thanksgiving game.
True.
Let's go Lions.
Went Detroit as well. 4:25, two games in this window. The first is the Giants at Dallas. Dallas laying 16 points, the biggest line of the weekend.
Paul,
mm-hmm.
I've said this a million times.
I know.
There is no way I'm taking Dallas over the Giants. Give me the G-men.
So that's going to be a game in my favor as I take Dallas.
Good, you can have that game.
I was like, take it. I'm interested to see how you pick this game. Washington at Seattle. Ooh. Seattle laying 6 points at home.
So we've had your friend Nick.
Uh-huh.
We've had the Nick Paul game.
Yep.
This will be the Matt Paul game.
Yep.
We've had the other Nick Paul game.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle looked terrible, and I think Geno Smith, not getting mad upset, I'm sure he's watching this all the way in the Dominican Republic right now.
Lucky guy.
I think Geno Smith, I think they figured him out. I think he's got to go.
Wow.
I
Are you about to take the pick I think you're picking?
I'm taking Washington.
Wow.
In this game.
Not so fast, my friend. Ah. Seattle, home.
You putting Pete Carroll on the hot seat?
I probably should, shouldn't I? It's been about a year since I've done it. Sunday night football. Jets at the Raiders. Raiders are 1.5 dog. Don't worry. It only gets better for Monday night.
Who keeps putting the Jets on prime time?
I don't know.
And why are the Raiders on all the time? Why are the Chargers on all the time? They're on again this week.
We aren't in the flex spot yet. That's why.
They aren't. Get this game off of primetime and put the Panthers on again. Panthers, Bears, put them on again. Put a show rerun.
Just make a pick. You're going off the rails.
I'm going Raiders. Antonio Pierce, come on, man.
Good pick. Raiders. And Monday night to close out the week, Denver at Buffalo. Buffalo, 7.5-point favorites.
Let's ride with Buffalo.
Good. Don't overthink it. That's where I went to. So that concludes NFL for this week. College football.
What'd you do?
For college? We'll get there in a sec.
Oh.
I saw the Rangers. We have more Connor Stallings things going on there. Now Ohio State and Purdue are thrown into this. I told you this thing was probably going to be worse than the Astros, but I didn't think it was going this route of pure chaos or anything like that.
I don't know. Bunch of cheaters.
I don't know what to think about at the end of the day at this point. Like,
I know what to think about it.
I mean, I know what I think about, right? I'm talking about in the grand scheme of it because, like, a lot of this just sounds like Michigan's trying to cover their ass at this point. And for me, it's just like a lot of, like, what are you doing? Like, we all know Harbaugh's probably not back next year anyway. Like, if you want to, quote-unquote, save yourself, it's just, like, own up to, like, it's a lot, like, to go back to the Astros thing, just own up to it. Like, it will probably just save you in the long run here. You know, I laugh at these people, like, well, they should be banned from the playoff. Well, the playoff committee doesn't handle that portion of things. You know, they aren't going to put a team in that obviously is banned from the postseason. So, it's on the NCAA, it's on the Big Ten, and they're both kind of looking at each other right now, kind of with, like, the fingers pointed at each other, like, no, it's you. It's both of you. Figure it out. It's not that deep, you know? It's very apparent that this program that was built upon we do everything right and blah, blah, blah by Harbaugh is falling into the days of when Bo Schembechler was just starting to lose control and they aren't. I don't mean to, like, drag some programs like I kind of do every now and then, but, like, you're Michigan. You haven't done shit in years anyway in the grand scheme of it. Like, who cares? If you want to do the right thing right now. It ain't that difficult.
Get them out.
Yeah.
We've seen Michigan and Ohio State. Get them both out. You know, look, the Big Ten is not winning a national championship. Get them out of here.
There's only one
team. Tulane in there. Give someone else a chance.
You picked the wrong G5 this year, but I'm allowing it.
I'm sick and tired of the Big Ten. Michigan, you bunch of cheaters. You know what this means? They still haven't beat Ohio State because they've cheated the two times they had.
It's possible.
Jim Harbaugh is still winless against Ohio State, and the NCAA is not going to do anything. They never do anything. But they'll do something 2 years from now when Jim Harbaugh's in the NFL and the players and the coaching staff who's on Michigan is the one that's going to take fall for it, and they had nothing to do with this. Uh-huh. And they're not going to do anything.
It's really the players at the end of the day.
Michigan's going to go in the playoffs, get their ass kicked by Georgia, and
– well,
it's just – it's going to be – I mean, Michigan, place – and then they're going to get some quality win this week when I think Penn State sucks as well because the whole conference is terrible.
I have some hot takes for the week. Not to get off topic from where we are, but I'll let you to finish.
Get Michigan out. Get Ohio State out. What are they doing at one? Because they beat – I mean, the committee – I don't even know what they're actually doing here.
So,
because, you know, it's just – they have them ahead of Georgia because of their quality wins. But one – Penn State, in my opinion, is not great. And Notre Dame is also going downhill a little bit. Is that really a quality win anymore? Put Georgia ahead of them. They won the national title last year. I mean, Ohio State, what are they?
The committee's looking at, for this year, I think more strength of schedule at this point than anything else. And although Ohio State has more obvious flaws, as I'm going to call it, to the public eye than Georgia, they've had a tougher schedule. And while I can't convincingly say that I think they're the better team, if they were to play head-to-head, I would lean on picking Ohio State over Georgia. And I say this because Georgia's strength of schedule has been it's been bad. There's just no way around it. It's been bad. And their SEC schedule collectively ain't good. Now, Missouri hung with them, as I kind of predicted for a little bit. That's a good Missouri team. They have Ole Miss this week, and they really need to hope that Lane Kiffin ain't frisky this week, or I think Georgia's in big trouble. Because the last thing they need to do is end up in some sort of shootout with Ole Miss, because Ole Miss will win a shootout over them. And I do not care what anybody says, because Brock Bowers is out, and I don't think he's all that great anyway in the first place, if I'm being honest. And at that point, I'd rather run with the team where their MO is offense at all times. So there's that. And plus, I want to be the bearer of bad news, even though they aren't as great as they normally are anyway. That Alabama team that they'll more than likely face, Georgia, in the SEC title game, they'll whoop them in Atlanta. Alabama will whoop Georgia that first weekend of December.
I just don't get the committee. They go off Ohio State because of the strength and schedule, but then they don't do it with Michigan, Florida State. Washington.
Oh, it's funny. I was about to bring that up, right? It's the fact that Washington and Oregon are 5-6, and it's like, what's going on here?
So
like,
Oregon is the top one loss team in the ranking, yeah. Right? So Washington beat them. Washington's got the best win of the entire season.
Yeah.
And they're out of it over Florida State and Michigan. Who the heck are they beating?
Right.
It's like, and you go strength and schedule. How is it? But you don't go strength and schedule with Washington. Why is Washington out? Uh-huh. Makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. And then really the wild card here is Florida State, because Florida State's good. I think they are a playoff team. They're kind of skirting under the radar. Do I think they could win the national title? Push comes to shove, probably not. But they're a team that, frankly, because they're just under the radar, like, do you want to play them? I wouldn't. Like,
they're a bigger name.
They're good. They're a really good team. They got a lot of good dudes. Their main issue is if something were to happen, their depth is not good. And that's somewhere that, honestly, Georgia and Ohio State kind of thrive this year, is the fact that their number ones are, well, I can't outright say that about Ohio State. Marvin Harrison Jr. is just a freaking freak. You know, outside maybe one or two guys, like, in that sense, right? Their number ones are pretty, if they're above their number twos, they aren't far above them. The committee, though, justifiably, I think, should be taking some heat. Again, hard to judge because they play each other last week of the year like they always do, right, between Ohio State and Michigan. I just don't understand how Ohio State is their one and not Michigan, though. Because if you're going to choose the Big Ten over Georgia in this case, I'd have them flip-flopped. And like I said, we'll see really here. I'm intrigued to see how Michigan actually handles Penn State this week, because, look, no matter which way you want to look around it, whether it's more Ohio State was just the better team or Penn State was able to hang around or whatever way, Penn State, it was a one-possession game most of that game in Ohio State. And they weren't all that far off. And if you look at the line, it's a 4.5-point line that Michigan's favored by. In Penn State, you know, at minimum, I'm probably going to bet Penn State the points in that space. Do I think outright? Probably not. But, like, I can see past where Michigan loses Saturday in Penn State. I can. At that point, you got a lot of chaos in that ranking. And the committee has no one else but themselves to blame, because honestly, I would probably have Washington. I would for sure have Washington in the top four. My top four would probably be Michigan 1, Georgia 2, Florida State 3. Actually, no, Washington 3, Florida State 4, in all honesty. And I know it goes against kind of what I said before, where I think Ohio State's better than Georgia anyway. But, like, I don't know if you can necessarily knock Georgia out yet.
In that Ohio State out.
Yeah, I think I would. But I don't know. I it's just one of those things where the committee this year has just left it up for a lot of interpretation. And I don't see a way that they can get around it.
Is there any way Alabama and Texas can get in?
Bama, I say more yes than Texas.
What happens if they both went out? Georgia's out?
Well, Texas is still technically, I think, outside looking at the Big 12 title game. So that's a big hindrance there. Alabama's in line for the SEC title game. Texas is going to probably need that de facto placement into the conference title game for them.
Do you think Alabama can make it in over Texas? Then they lost to Texas.
Alabama beats Georgia, yeah. I think they're in over Texas. Texas at the moment, I think, you know, I think Texas is in line to make the Big 12 title game now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, because they'd be in over. Yeah, because at the moment, it's like Oklahoma State and Texas are the Big 12 title game. So, you know, really, to be fair, the big wrench in it, I'd say, the college football plan would be Michigan loses this week and then beats Ohio State or something like that. Because they're probably praying. I'll move on to my picks after this point. They're probably praying like Washington loses at some point down the line here. Because then at that point, it makes life a hell of a whole lot easier probably for them. But, yeah. They put themselves in a pickle this year.
You excited for next year? 12 teams?
Yeah. You'll get the G5s in there. Extends the pool a little bit better, right? Because not every conference title team deserves to be in the playoff.
That's all these teams want is a shot.
Yeah.
Like, even if Tulane gets the 12 seed, that's all they want. They want a shot to win the national title.
And I mean, hey, we're looking at if it were to happen this year, Air Force goes out this past weekend and played about the worst game they've played in about three seasons. So that's why you play the game. All right, picks for this week. Last week, 2-2-1.
You just can't get over 500.
Nah, I'm back at – so I'm still 27-28, now 2 on the year. Picks for the week, Alabama at Kentucky. I'm doing Alabama minus 10.5. Really hoping I could get that thing down to a flat 10, but it is what it is. Old Dominion at Liberty. I'm taking Liberty minus 13.5. Oklahoma State minus 3 at UCF. I'm going with the Pokes. Cincinnati at Houston. I'm doing Houston minus 2.5. And then Fresno State at San Jose State. I'm doing Fresno State minus 1 on the road. So, nice little shotgun spray of picks across the board conference-wise. So, all right, let's do college basketball first. We got our first couple days in with that out of the way. Already have some upsets going on. My favorite overrated coach in the country, Tom Izzo, lost to James Madison, who everybody thought was a football school. Not just a football school,
James
folks.
Madison in the news a lot lately.
Yeah,
they lose.
But this is your territory. You. I mean, I love college basketball, too. It's, you know, it's up there for me. But you, Nick, you're the college basketball guy.
All right. Yeah.
You, for those who don't know, we talk about a ton on here anyway. But for those who don't know, maybe Nick was the guy who would take school off to watch 24 hours of college basketball back in the day. Mm-hmm. We love that mentality.
RIP to the marathon.
Yep.
Yeah, they don't do the marathon anymore on ESPN, but all my years of high school.
Pretty close, though.
Pat Russo, your brother, would take off Halloween because he was sick around that time every year. But, yeah. And then a couple weeks later, I take off the marathon day. But, yeah, good times. But, you know, college basketball just starting up. A lot of new eras, I should say, especially for our teams, Notre Dame and Syracuse. New head coaches for – it's been a long time. Notre Dame not as long as Syracuse, but, you know.
Bray was a staple.
Yeah, he was there until 2000, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, new eras, new faces. Hoping that college basketball can come back. It's kind of sad how – These medias have just diminished college basketball, and it was such a great sport back in the day. It's especially ESPN. I mean, I've been pretty honest that I'm not a huge ESPN guy, even though I still watch it because it is the number one sports network. But, you know, just the fact that they deleted the I'm really heated with this, though. It's just like, it's really hard not to swear about this, but it's just like when they got rid of the 9 o'clock Saturday game on ESPN, and it's just like, why? Yeah. Why do you have to put an NBA? They have NBA primetime now at 9 p.m. on Saturday, and I can't stand it. That was the game of the week, was the 9 p.m. game day. I mean, they still have game day. I wish it would be a little longer. They don't start college basketball game day until college football is over, but they still have a game day game, but usually it's like at 6 o'clock now. And that wasn't what I grew up with. It was the 9 p.m. game. So that's the depressing part about college basketball. But the great part is it's back.
Right.
And we got some upsets, a little bit of March Madness to start. Michigan State going down, like you mentioned, even on the women's side. LSU went down.
It's Colorado.
Caitlin Clark, I think, plays tonight.
Yep.
Makes her debut back for this season. I think women's basketball, college women's basketball, is at an all-time high.
About to say, and it's really awesome seeing it kind of gain steam because, like, don't get me wrong, like, I know it's, for the sake of parity, it wasn't good having UConn for that stretch, but really brought the women's game into the spotlight even more. Like, Kai rode the heels off of Tennessee and Pat Summit, then into Gian Auriemma with UConn, and now you're going to get into a bunch of different programs, right? LSU with Mulkey, South Carolina with Staley, obviously Geno's still at UConn, they're a power. Iowa, kind of more on the coattails with a bunch of different players. And it's really awesome to see because there's a lot of, I don't think people realize, there's a lot more personality, I think, in the women's college game than the men's college game at the moment, right? I mean, we talk about LSU, right? And how you have Kim Mulkey there who is just a dynamo in her own right. But, like, Angel Reese, Haley Van Lith, like they just have so much persona. South Carolina has that as well. Obviously, you get up closer to our neck of the woods here in the Northeast, like UConn with Geno and Paige Buchers is back this year, and hopefully she can stay healthy. Midwest has Iowa. You know, out West, I mean, they don't have, like, the true powerhouse program anymore out West exactly. Like, Stanford had a run there for a while, but they're still always competitive and everything like that. I mean, you just – the women's game is at a point now where it's kind of like the men's game, where you have a bunch of different powers, and that's cool and that's good. But now you have that ability to have, I'd say, those upsets. Even then, like, Colorado LSU, I don't know – like, if we were to look at it from the men's game angle, I don't think we'd be calling it the upset that we think it's the upset, right? Because Colorado's 20th in the country. Like,
yeah.
But for the perceived, and there still is, like, that gap even through the top 25 of women's where there's still the gap there. But that gap is closing, and that's awesome to see.
Yeah, well, women's college basketball has always had, like, I mean, you see all the big names the WNBA has right now. They were made because of college basketball, mostly because they stayed 4 years in college basketball. They create that name with those schools before they go to the WNBA. And it's like, you know, the popularity of the WNBA, I don't think is as popular as women's college basketball. I think when people watch the girls, it's
usually – I think it's lockstep.
Yeah, I just think women's college basketball is one of the more popular women's sports.
Yeah, definitely.
And the WNBA is right there, but I just think they create that name in the college basketball, and then they go to the WNBA, and that's why there's a lot of names in the WNBA. I personally think women's tennis is the number one women's sport. But
I was going to say softball, but that's all right.
But that's a debate for another day. But it's just the names are big in women's college basketball right now because of they stay 4 years. Men's, they're getting really bad now. One, I think it's people leave after a year. The other is just transferring. It's like these guys spend time on three different teams, and you never saw that. That the transfer portal has killed college basketball.
Look, I'm all for whatever, and it was funny because I talked with Kenny Haas after his show yesterday about this a little bit. I'm pro transfer portal, but to an extent at this point. Like, if we still want to call them student athletes, you have to remember that, quote-unquote, normal students have the ability to freely transfer, you know? Like, when we were in college, like, I came close to transferring out of where I went at Gannon. You know, Nick, if you want the ability to go from Cuca to Rochester, right, you have the perceived free ability to do something.
Why did I leave Cuca?
I'm just saying as an example.
What happened?
Nothing. I'm saying as an example. Wait, did you actually think about transferring at one point? Did I not know that?
No, I'm loyal to my Wolves slash Wolfpass slash Storm.
Back to the thing. Back to the actual thing now here. And, you know, I think if you're a student athlete, you should be allowed to transfer. I think maybe like that one-time thing, right, a quote-unquote free transfer, right? I think, you know, if a coach change happens, that should still be allowed because, right, coaches have the ability to freely move about no matter what. You know, where I have the issue, and you don't see it, I think, as much in basketball as you do football at the moment. But you are right. You do have some of the guys and everything kind of just moving season to season. And I don't think that's good for them anyway, like just from a psychological and like human just growth perspective. But, you know, basketball, it's tougher, right? Because you bring up, right, the fact of about the one and dones and stuff like that. And, you know, I go back to a problem that I just kind of have in general where you have a lot of these kids coming through especially the AAU system, where they just aren't being developed in a way that is more well-rounded. You know, it's funny. You look at USC this year, for example, and justifiably they're good. They're a ranked team. I don't trust them to do anything in tournament time, though. I mean, they have a lot of guys who did return, but there's so much hype and illusion around that team being good because Bronny James is there. Bronny's probably not going to play at all this year because of, obviously, the heart condition and issue. I expect him to be back at some form, though. I don't think that's a secret by any means, but I could be wrong either way. But, like, those type of teams, and that's why you look at some of these teams, like, there's a reason why Gonzaga, although they haven't gotten over that hump that we still expect them to or probably need them to, the reason why they're always at least, like, getting to the tournament and having a run to the second weekend, right? There's a reason why, and I even though they haven't been there in a couple of years now, like, Notre Dame, Nick, under Mike Bray, was always good about making it to the tournament and at least causing ruckus. Why? Because there was a bunch of juniors and seniors who had been there, and they just know how to play with each other, and they feed off each other. You know?
I always say, I take a starting lineup of all seniors over a starting lineup of top-of-the-line freshmen.
And that's why you see now, I think you see more often these 15 and 16 seed teams at minimum hanging with the top seeds because it's a bunch of guys who have just played together for a while in that setting. Sure, you have freshmen and sophomores in their starting lineup. I think Fairleigh Dickinson had a couple sophomores, right? But, like, that was a senior and junior-led team. And maybe the Purdue one's not the best example because, like, they had a bunch of sophomores and juniors, I think, that's starting out. But, like, that's why Purdue is so highly regarded for this year. Like, everybody came back for the most part, you know? And we joke about it, but it's true. Like, there's a reason why Duke hasn't done anything in, like, a decade, to be honest. I know they had the 2015, right? I think their last national title. But, like, there's a reason why we joke about – even then there was a joke about Duke out in the first weekend. Like – because Coach K can't coach the one-and-dones. And it'll be – we're kind of rambling on now. We still have to touch on NASCAR quick before we get out of here. But, yeah, I think that maybe ties up nicely, though, is the fact that this year there – I don't know who there is exactly to pick this year to be a favorite. You know, I think it's been easier in years past. I think it's harder and harder as we get on because – you know, the talent's always up there, and you don't know who's coming back. You don't know who's actually going to perform well because stuff moves in and out. Look at Syracuse right now with Red Autry, right? Like, that first game on Monday night against New Hampshire was a lot of experimenting for him with lineups within the game itself, and you just don't know who's going to mesh well with each other at certain times. Like, Quadir Copeland had a double-double. If you were to tell me at this time last year he would have had a double-double, I would have laughed because Boeheim just wasn't utilizing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great. I think Kadir's going to be really good, kind of like one of those, like, keep an eye on him type deals. But, you know, it's one of those things where the more we get into this where we are with, I guess, the present day of college basketball, the more and more I just don't know. And that's why I look at a team like Marquette, who they were able to kind of reinforce via the transfer portal, and they didn't lose a ton. That's why I think they're going to be up there this year. And I think it's credit where credit's due. You know, Villanova's getting some respect here early on, which I think is great. I think they're going to be really good.
St. John's,
they're going to get out of the gate, I think, and struggle a little bit. But once they get going, they're going to be good. And we're mentioning Big East teams, right? But, like, I think UNC is going to be fine. They had a weird growing pain thing last year, but that's essentially the same lineup for Hubert Davis this year. And that goes back to, right, why I think Purdue's still going to be good this year, because people are back. And it's going to be really interesting to kind of see who meshes well with each other and who doesn't, you know.
That's why Syracuse might make a run. I could get better this year because they have people
literally
back.
Everybody came back this year outside of Jesse Edwards, who transferred. I get why he had to because of the NIL situation, being an international kid, but he could have come back. And you want to talk about a grass isn't always greener deal. That West Virginia team is going to be interesting, to say the least. But look, Houston's going to be good this year, all right? Alabama's going to be good again this year. There's a lot of teams that are just going to be really good this year, and I think this will allow for some chaos and parity throughout the year, both non-league and in-conference. And we're a couple weeks away from these tournaments happening, the beginning of the year tournaments. I'm excited to see that because, like, the Maui field this year is loaded, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun year of college basketball.
I'm sorry, though. DePaul is 0-1.
That'll happen. They got upset.
Yeah, I know that's your team.
Yeah. My namesake. To say.
But, either still way. Got that T-shirt?
No. Are you kidding me? I probably wouldn't be able to put it around my leg at this point. All right. Let's talk a couple minutes. NASCAR. You're the one who actually brought up to me. I was kind of just going to leave a table in a way, but officially done. Ryan Blaney, your Cup Series champion.
Yeah, that was a good
Nick,
year.
Somebody our age champion in there. So
yeah,
it's awesome to see. Quick run on Cole Custer in the Xfinity Series and Ben Rhodes in the trucks. And that concludes NASCAR for the year. Kind of crazy. Be back before we know it. It's one of the sports with the shortest turnarounds in terms of off season. So I think it's 89 days until the, or no, 88 days now until the Busch Clash, the exhibition race to start the year. Looking forward to it. But year in review, another exciting year. A lot of different winners, a lot of different parody stuff going on within the sport. I know you were able to take in your first cup race this year at Watkins Glen. Yeah. We talked about that a little bit, but when, you know, we wrapped up down there, William Byron got the win. He was in the championship four, Nick. Couldn't quite get it done, but what were your takeaways from the year? A year that, like I said, another year that you were at the track, got to see your first cup action and everything.
Yeah,
so,
that was cool.
What was your takeaway from the year?
Biggest takeaways from this year is Bubba had a great year.
Yeah, best year to date.
Made the playoffs and made the top 12.
Made top 10.
Top 10?
Got 10th in points.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kevin Harvick's done.
Mm-hmm. End of an era.
Yep. Watkins getting a playoff race next year.
Exciting. A little schedule shakeup too next year. Forgot to mention that, but yeah.
I just wish they would go back to more Saturday races, but, you know,
TV.
They just don't do well. But what are you going to do? So
riot.
I think the sport's kind of going up a little bit.
It's in a good spot.
Yeah. They're getting some bigger names. I know they lost a lot of huge names. Like, that was when the sport was at an all-time high, when they had the Tony Stewarts, the Jimmy Johnsons, the Jeff Gordons, the Dale Earnhardt Juniors, the names just go on and on.
Carl Edwards.
Yeah, Carl Edwards. I forgot about him. The backflip guy. That's my guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they're trying to get back to that, you know, have some names. Mm. I didn't realize it had been that long since the final race winner was not the Cup Series champion.
Yeah.
So we'll see what Ross Chastain has next year. So Chase Elliott not making the playoffs was a big deal. But he, you know, missing time.
Injured and suspended.
Yeah, so.
Crazy.
He'll be back. Mm-hmm. Kyle Larson didn't win, so. Parody.
Boo-hoo.
Parody. Yeah, I mean, it was a good year.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good year for him.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future. Sports in a good spot. TV contracts that are up at the end of next year. So
where are they going to go, you think?
I don't know. CW already has the Xfinity Series locked up for 2025. So how about that?
Hey,
joining NASCAR Xfinity Series is going to be their anchor, apparently.
The Cup Series better not go to the CW.
No, they won't. No.
Who do you like to see them get?
I like them to remain with Fox and NBC in some sort of degree, but this is going to be a hot take and a controversial take. I wouldn't mind if they brought back the quote-unquote TNT had the summer series for a little bit. It was like a six-week run. And we dunk on the NFL for it, but it's worked out pretty well for them the past year that they've had it. I'd like to see Amazon or some other streamer hop on for that six-week run.
It's going to be a little tough with NASCAR because NFL's
popular. But it would be in the summer when your only competition is baseball. And
what about Apple Plus?
It's a niche thing, right? Well, that's the thing, right? It could be Apple Plus. I don't know if I'd be on board with NBC doing it and putting it behind Peacock at that point, because at that point, just put it on your regular kind of, whether it's NBC or USA at that point. So.
No ESPN.
I wouldn't be opposed. My main issue with ESPN is I think they're just so deadlocked on what they got right now. And they're a completely separate discussion, I guess, this part of it. But they're in such their own zone right now with what's going on with Disney trying to sell off and stuff like that. I don't know if they'd be with it.
It's not till next year anyway.
Yeah. But, hey, we'll talk about it again sooner than we think. So that'll take care of the show for today. Nick, shout out for today. Who do you got?
Shout out my friend Khalil Stokes.
Oh, the newcomer to Cherry One Fantasy Hockey.
He got his first win last week. Congratulations.
Yeah, facing him this week.
Yeah, first of many, hopefully. obviously, they can't be like you and me. We're just the GOATs. We're obviously the Tom Brady and Peyton Manning of Cherry One Fantasy Sports. But congratulations, Khalil. Shout out.
Yeah. Nick? Oh, one thing before I do sign off. I do know this. You'll be there on Saturday for the Marcus Whitman Bloomfield Palmac Championship game of the Wayne Finger Lakes Independent Football League Championship, the first one. And we here at Finger Lakes One will be there as well. We'll be broadcasting it. Myself, Kyle Evans, will be in the booth for that. Looking forward to it. Kickoff at 3 p.m. So make sure you tune in for that here on Finger Lakes One.
It's at 3?
Yep, 3 p.m. kickoff.
That was 3:30.
I was told 3. Uh-oh.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Either way, tune in Saturday afternoon. Go be a great game. Palmac gets there on the toe of Brennan Pepitone, I saw. A little buzzer beater action field goal. So you don't see that often in high school.
No, not at all. So, that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
I had the over in that game, but
okay, on that note, I'm going to dump. No, you're good. This isn't
9-7 game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see that up too often either.
Oh, no, no. So, looking forward to that on Saturday, though. So, make sure you tune in. Maybe we'll get you up in the booth at halftime, Nick, and talk a little bit. But we'll call that remain to be seen. We'll call that a teaser. option. So,
I pop up.
Yeah. We'll talk with everybody again next Wednesday. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. We'll see everybody then.